But the annual visit of Sally Wise, usually in the second week or so of December, there is a bit of thought behind this that we can inspire people and they can have stuff ready for the Christmas table is the plan.
Yes.
Whether that actually works or not is another thing, but we like to think it does. And by way of inspiration, you have brought along a few things which producer Paul has photographed and I'm sure is diligently posting on Facebook as we talk. I just got an affirmative nod for that. But we do the usual stuff as well, you know, your questions about what you're doing in the kitchen, mm-hmm. your brags about what you're doing in the kitchen,
definitely.
And your questions about, you know, what's gone wrong in the kitchen as well. I love the texts that start with, help, we get lots of those. And Sally also, and I have mentioned this a couple of times, this is the time of the year, as you have done, when you bring out the stained, the battered exercise book, perhaps,
yes.
that Grandma used to use, where the family favourites that always come out at Christmas time.
Yes, absolutely.
I record it, yeah. And share some of those with us as well, which we have done on many a program. Look, before we take the calls, 1300 222 936. Ring now, otherwise you won't get through. 1300 222 936, or send a text on 0438 922 936. I think you have an appeal of your own.
I do. I'm desperate for a recipe for ginger beer made with grated green ginger root. Like, we have a little competition going on at home at the moment. A request from one of our children was for some ginger beer. So I have my normal plant, which I've started off, and then I have another one which is like decades old, and Robert has one in a barrel, that, you know, and we're kind of competing, see who's the best. But I haven't yet found a recipe that I can swear to is reliable, because not everything on the internet is, for ginger beer made with grated green ginger, so you get the actual ginger juice in there, not powdered ginger.
Right, and you know that recipe exists somewhere.
I do, because a young man gave it to me probably 20 years ago. Do you think I can find it? I've tipped every cookbook out the cupboard and every scrap of paper, and I cannot find it. I know it exists.
The ginger somewhere. That we add is of the same stuff, isn't it?
You know, it is, but you have to be a bit careful. You know, when you're doing preserves type things, you've got to be careful that you, if you're putting a fresh ingredient in there, that you're getting your proportions right of your sugar and other elements and the acid that you put in there as well. The powdered ginger is fine, but I want the freshness to get that lovely juice, that lovely fresh juice that comes from the ginger root.
You got a spare book you can offer as an incentive for someone who comes up with the best
definitely.
Ones? Really? There you go.
Of their choice, yeah. I've been searching for 2 weeks and I cannot find it. I'm
all right.
So cross.
So there's your challenge and you will be rewarded. Can you come up with a ginger beer recipe that uses fresh grated ginger?
Yes. Grated or chopped, I don't care, as long as it uses the fresh green ginger root.
1300 222 936, the phone number. Text 0438 922 936. Trisha is first up. Morning, Trisha, and you're talking to Sally.
Oh, hi, Sally. Hi, Chris. Look, I was just wondering, after a recipe to do like a pickled pear for use in salad and pickling walnuts.
Oh, right. Goodness me. Well, it's quite a long recipe. Do you want me to get Paul to put it up? Because both of those are significant. Like, you have to make a very kind of strong vinegar, spice vinegar, then you combine that with sugar and then you have to do the pear part. And with the pickled walnuts, what you have to do is pick your walnuts and you pick them quite early around Christmas time before that shell forms. And then you have to prick them all, which you must wear gloves for. You end up with black hands for goodness knows how long. And then you have to make a brine and brine them. And then you have to, again, make up a vinegar. And there's a sweet version or a sour version. So I can ask Paul to put it up, or I'll put it up on my website this afternoon.
Oh, yes. I was just after the sweet version. I actually did some walnuts last year, did all what you said. But they just didn't have a really nice aromatic kind of sweetness to them. They were bland.
And they're a bit sour. You know, it depends. Like, Eastern European cultures like those sour ones, whereas through the Middle East, they prefer the lovely sweet ones, which you can use in a sweet or savoury application. It's not hard to do. It's a bit of a palaver, but, you know, they're just easy steps. So I'll put that up on my website by this afternoon, or I'll get Paul to put up on the ABC one, or both.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Good stuff.
Thanks for the call, Tricia. Right. Bye.
Bye.
Gillian, next up. Morning, Gillian.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Gillian.
Good morning, Sally. My problem is I'm trying to make some toffee shards.
Uh-huh.
And I've had 3 goes and to no success. And I think something's going wrong when I'm trying to dissolve my caster sugar in water. I end up with just a crystallised lump.
Right. So are you stirring that?
I am.
Yeah, don't. So what you do, well, when you put your sugar in the pan, at the most, just agitate it. Just, you know, shake the pan a little bit. Don't stir it at all. And particularly once it starts to boil, never, never stir it, because that will mean that it will certainly crystallise on you and go into horrid clumps like that. You've just got to let it do its own thing. And I know it's nerve-wracking every time I think, oh, this is going to burn or whatever. But no, you just keep an eye on it and then it won't crystallise. If little you know, little sugar crystals that are around the edge of your the sides of the pot up higher, you can dip a pastry brush in a little cold water and just brush it down with that. But certainly still don't stir. That's the monumental thing I found when I was first making toffee. Do not do it, because it ended up so horrible.
So when how long do you think it would take for the sugar and the water to actually dissolve?
It depends really, you know, it's about how long is a piece of string really, because it depends on your stovetop, you know, and your hot plate and whatever, but it doesn't take very long, and I don't put very much water in it at all, you know, just a little splash, maybe a quarter of a cup or something like that, just to stop it sticking in the first instance. It doesn't take very long, and I don't use too high a heat in the first instance until that sugar dissolves itself, and then you can bump it up a bit to so you can get your sugar mixture to start to colour as it should.
So when the sugar's dissolved, my liquid would be quite clear, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'll have another go.
Yes, do.
Good stuff, all right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Julian. Now, there's a recipe just come in. This is from Anna at Taruna. This was, Anna, this is your grandfather's recipe here. I'll read this one out to you, and I'm trying to print it if I can, which has actually worked. That's a first. So it reads, in a big container, add 3 pounds of sugar, 3 rounded dessert spoons of cream of tartar, 3 strained lemons juice, 2 ounces of whole hammered ginger in a muslin bag. Did I say muslin bag?
Muslin bag.
That's add more of its green ginger. Add 6 pints of boiling water and stir until dissolved. Cover and stand for an hour. Then add 2 gallons and 2 pints of cold water. Sprinkle with a teaspoon of Tandako yeast. Must be a brand of yeast, I suppose. Yeah, let it stand for 18 hours until occasional yeast bubble pops. Bottle and leave about 3 days.
There you go. Excellent.
I'll pass you a copy of that.
Oh, I just wrote it down. So there you go.
Anna, well done. Thank you.
Excellent.
Anna from
Taruna.
And Sally's on the hunt this morning for a ginger beer recipe that uses real ginger. Ian is next up. Ian, you're talking to Sally.
Yes, Sally. It's Ian here.
Hi, Ian.
My question is regarding cherry jam. Now, yes. Normally when you make jams, you add the sugar to a muslin bag. Now, do you do the same with the cherry seeds?
Yes, I do. I put them in a muslin bag, and because that's where the pectin is, there and in the skins, and there's quite a lot in those pips, so I hang them in a muslin bag and while the cherries are softening, you know, that first stage, and then I take them out before I put the sugar in.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Okay. It's a pleasure.
Simply done. Thank you, Ian. Now, is it Gabrielle or Gabriella in Austin's Ferry? Good morning.
Good morning, Gabrielle.
Gabrielle. Hello, Gabrielle.
Hi.
It's a nice Christmassy name, isn't it?
Yes, I'm Gabrielle Mary, and the whole of my life it's been reminded of, been told that that was the reason.
Yes.
So there you go.
You're such an angel. Yes.
Oh, I don't think they'd agree. This is a different way of making ginger beer, and I know it's probably on the trendy side, but I've had a lot of success with water kefir lately, and then on the second ferment, the first ferment is about a quarter of a cup of water kefir grain.
Yes.
And then a quarter of a cup of brown sugar. To be honest, people will tell you it needs to be double organic, etc., but I just use the normal stuff.
Yes.
Tap water to about a litre, and to put some grated ginger in with that.
Yes.
Now, on the second ferment, so you leave it out for a day and you'll get some wonderful bubbly action.
Yeah.
And then on the second ferment, at the same time that I do that, I'm also brewing, just to be honest, I just do a whole thing of bulb of ginger.
Yes.
And put that with a quarter of a cup of boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard about the bicarb, but I've never done it and I've never found I needed to.
Right.
And then I just strain the next day I just strain the ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got the water, ginger water, and then I just add it to the strained kefir water, bottle it, and it's ginger beer within a few, in a couple of days.
Right.
And I can't actually, I grew up with the sort of brewed ginger beer and I can't taste the difference.
Okay, excellent.
And you get the benefit of the sort of the water kefir that is all the rage at the moment.
Yeah, so where would you buy that water kefir?
Well, I will send you some.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. But thank apart you. From that, if you go onto eBay, if I'm allowed to say the name of the place,
yes.
You'll find that there's a lot of people, I think they're mostly on the mainland, and mm-hmm. they are more than happy to sell for a few dollars, and I really do mean only a few dollars, a quarter of a cup of water kefir grain.
And yeah, water kefir is a grain, is it?
Go on.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, no, it looks, it reminds me of tadpole eggs, to be honest, to look at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a bit, it's sort of a, I think it's sort of on the plains of Mongolia and things like that, that it was once sort of discovered from on high or something. So it's almost got a Christmas story in itself. But you get water kefir grains and you get milk kefir grains.
Mm, I have those.
Oh, yeah. So this is, anyway, I'll send you some, Sally. And,
thank you.
Good luck with it.
Yeah.
Excellent. I've written it all down faithfully. So
good on you.
Great.
And Gabrielle, I'm going to put you back to producer Paul, okay? So don't go away. You're on hold there. Let's take another call. This is Anne. Anne, you're talking to Sally.
Oh, hello. I've got a recipe for ginger beer, and it's from my great-grandma Agnes Henslow's Goulburn Cookery Book,
yes.
14th edition, price yep. 1 shilling, 1913.
My goodness. How
and
cool.
Here we go. We've got three, but I'll just give you the first one. Ginger beer, 2 gallons of boiling water, 1.5 pounds of sugar.
Yes.
3 lemons.
Yes.
2 ounces of whole ginger.
Yes.
1/2 ounce of cream of tartar.
Yes.
3 tablespoons of yeast. White of 1 egg, which is interesting.
It is.
Pour the water on the sugar.
Yes.
Cream of tartar and lemons. And the lemons are cut in slices. And the bruised ginger.
So what was that last bit about the ginger?
Pour the water on the sugar, cream of tartar, lemons cut in slices and bruised ginger.
Yes.
When the whole is lukewarm, add the yeast.
Okay.
Cover and let it stand 1 night.
Yep.
Strain through a clean towel in the morning. Add the beaten white of the egg and bottle.
Beaten white of egg and bottle. Well, that's very
interesting. And then I've got a draft ginger beer, and there's a cold water one that's just got the ground, but the draft ginger beer is another one. I don't
oh,
know
really?
If you want that one.
Yes,
too.
I do, please.
Draft ginger beer, 5 gallons of water, 3 pounds of sugar,
mm-hmm.
5 ounces of bruised ginger.
Yes.
1 tablespoon of cream of tartar.
Yes.
The juice of 6 lemons.
Oh, I have lots of lemons at the moment. That's great.
Whites of 3 eggs.
3 eggs.
1 pint of good fresh yeast.
Good fresh yeast. Okay. I have a
boil
hop yeast.
Boil the sugar ginger.
Boil sugar ginger. Yep.
Thinly peeled rind of the lemons.
Yep, thinly peeled rind, yes.
And 2 gallons of the water together for 1/4 hour.
15 minutes, yes.
Strain, add the rest of the water.
Rest of the water, yes.
And let it stand till cold. And here's the interesting bit. Add the beaten whites of the eggs.
Yes.
Lemon juice, yeast and cream of tartar.
And
it's
cream
classic,
of tartar.
Yes,
put indeed.
In a 5-gallon cask.
Yes.
Cork tightly.
Yep.
And use in 2 or 3 days, which you probably would at Christmas.
Yes.
It keeps fresh for about a week.
Okay.
And the last sentence, a teaspoon of citric acid and a little essence of lemon may be used instead of lemons.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
I've written all that down very roughly, but I think I can understand it.
Right. 1913.
Yeah. Well done, Anne. That's great. And I'm going to throw you back to producer Paul as well. So thank you for the call. 1300-222-936, our phone number. Text us on 0438-922-936. And Marty, who's organising the catering in the foyer here this morning as people come in to look at the giving tree in the southern ABC foyer, the big Christmas tree and the big pile of prezzies, which you passed on the way in.
Yes.
Say how impressed you were.
I was very impressed.
Yes. And if you'd like to add a gift to that pile, you don't have to, but if you want to, that's fabulous. You can also leave cash at the desk as well. But Marty just dropped in to let us know that all the residents of Lincoln Street in Sandy Bay got together and have just bought in a huge bundle of gifts. Isn't that lovely?
It is.
Yeah, well done. The residents of Lincoln Street adding to that pile under the giving tree in the ABC Hobart broadcast for you. Let's take another call. This is Liz, who's in Otago. Good morning, Liz.
Oh, hi there, Chris. And Sally.
Hi, Liz.
I've found a recipe for ginger beer in an old recipe book.
Yes.
And it mentions 5 ounces of bruised ginger.
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming that's the real...
Yes,
thing.
That would be the real thing, yes.
Would you like me to read it through? I'll just tell you where the book is. It's the Hobart Cookery Book.
Oh, I have that at home, yes.
Do you?
Yes.
This is the 7th edition. This is from the Ladies of the Methodist Central Mission, Melville Street.
I think mine's the 5th, so it might not be in mine.
Okay, it's on page 128.
Okay.
Don't you carry it everywhere with you, Sally? No?
I have too many books to carry with me everywhere. I'd need a truck. Yes, please, Liz.
It has 5 pounds of white sugar. A quarter of a pint of lemon juice, a quarter of a pound of honey,
five ounces
of bruised ginger, and 4.5 gallons of water. So you boil the ginger in 3 quarts of water.
Hang on, I'll write that down. Boil ginger in 3 quarts of water, yes.
You have to convert, that's not all the 4.5 gallons, is it? Then add the lemon juice and honey.
Yes.
With the remainder of water. And strain through a cloth.
Yes.
When cold, add a quarter of the white of an egg. Oh, I didn't mention that at the top because it wasn't at the top.
No, older recipes sometimes like that.
And a small teaspoonful of essence of lemon. Let it stand 4 days and bottle.
Stand 4 days and bottle. We're going to have all sorts of experiments. Keeps many months. Excellent.
And the contributor was Mrs. Henry Mason.
Okay. I'll write that down, Mrs. Henry Mason. Excellent.
There's another one in that book for ginger beer, that probably the normal way, with an ounce of ginger from Mrs. Mather.
Yes.
Great stuff. Liz, thank you.
The other one I have, you may be interested in, is in the National Trust recipe book.
Okay.
Southern regional one.
Oh, yes.
But it's not ginger beer, it's called ginger wine, and it's an old recipe, but it also has a gallon of water, 1.5 ounces of ginger. Yes. And then the instructions say bruise the ginger.
Yes. Yeah, that seems to be the way. I was thinking to grate it, but bruise seems to be the way that it's recommended to go about it. So that's what I'll be doing. I'll be trying these and just seeing. There'll be ginger beer, like, falling out the doors, hopefully not exploding out the doors.
Are you interested in that whole recipe, that detail, or will I just put that one aside?
I have that one at home, so I'll look that up.
Good.
I didn't even think to look in the National Trust book. So
Yes,
that's excellent. Thank you so much, Liz. That's amazing.
Liz, thank you very much for the call. It's 24 minutes past 10 o'clock. Sally Wise in the studio, 1300-222-936, the phone number. And we've got some free lines right now for the first time in quite some time. And 0438-922-936 if you want to ask a question by text. Sally's on the hunt for a ginger beer recipe or two that uses real ginger, as in raw ginger, which I think you've got a couple now to be going on with at least.
I have about 5, yes. It's really good.
Well, that'll keep you busy till about 5 o'clock this afternoon.
It will.
Robin asks the valid question, what would the raw egg white do in the ginger beer?
Clarify, I would imagine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you clarify that? No, just, keep it clear.
Yes.
Yes, obviously, yes. Now, before we move on, you have brought in, which is, I suppose, the point of this. Well, it's just lovely to have you anyway.
Oh, thank
but
you,
to get you in at this time is to do some special Christmas goodies, some decorative goodies. Now, producer Paul tells me we can't put these photos up until we've finished the program because it accompanies the audio. So you can listen back to this and look at the photo. You can be inspired. Can I get you, I know it's radio, but just to tell me what you've got here.
Oh, it's just normal fare. There's some, oh, well, you know, little chocolate caramel tarts aren't really Christmassy. Oh, I forgot to bring you in the Lebkuchen. Hope there's some left out there for you. They're little heart-shaped biscuits, you know, coated in chocolate, traditionally this time of the year. And then there's little fruit mince tarts, which are made with blood oranges, some of the rind that we picked at someone's place in Brighton in
winter. So it's a fruit mince tart, but it doesn't have a complete lid on it. The lid is heart-shaped.
Yes.
So there's fruit exposed around the perimeter of the heart. But it's a lovely way of decorating it.
It is. So you see what you're getting. But I had this brainwave this week in the middle of the night, I have to tell you. Usually, you know, to make little round Christmas pudding things, I make a fruit cake and then I add some brandy, whatever, and, you know, roll it into balls and then decorate it. But I was thinking, I wonder... And, you know, everyone used to make cake pops a while ago, and I've had these tins that I bought at the op shop, and I tried cake pops, and, you know, it's okay, but I didn't really want to do any more. But I put fruitcake mixture into those, half fill them, and then they puff up as they cook into little round balls. One batch of a boiled fruitcake mixture makes four dozen, and they make these lovely little round-shaped puddings, and then you just... yeah, you just cool them, obviously, and then I just took a little tiny slice off the bottom so they sit... just flat and they don't kind of topple over everywhere, and you just decorate the top if you want to with some white chocolate and glacé cherries and that sort of thing. It was so much easier than all the other business.
So what you get is a little Christmas pud.
You do, yes. Yeah, and you can put alcohol in, brush them with alcohol, feed them with alcohol, I read was Delia Smith's term to brush them with alcohol or inject them with alcohol after they're cooked. But anyway, it was just so much easier than the other way, and you don't have to get your hands all messy in the mixture and that sort of thing.
Yes, and you mentioned fruitcake there. Kim sent a text through and it disappeared over the page, so I haven't read it before now. But Kim has already cooked a boiled, now what is it? Sorry, Kim, I've got to sort of... juggled between, a boiled fruitcake, has already cooked it, but it's very plain. It's a plain fruitcake. And the question is how to retro-decorate it. What will stick at this stage?
What will stick? So she wants to do a fancy decorated Christmas cake. Okay, so what you need to do is, I don't know what they call it these days because they change the name of things, but pet and ice is what I used to call it.
Pet and ice?
Pet and ice. It's like what you see cakes decorated over with. You know, that nice icing, that nice smooth icing.
Yes.
That's what it is. So you have to plug any holes. Then brush the cake with sieved apricot jam. And then if you'd like...
Sieved apricot jam?
Yeah, it makes this icing sheet that you're going to put over stick.
Okay.
You have to believe me on this.
What sort of sieve do you put it through?
Oh, just like your kitchen sieve.
Like a flour sieve?
Yes. Oh, no. Like a kitchen sieve that you would...
Your colander?
No, finer than that.
How can you get jam through a really fine sieve?
No, it's not, just the liquid goes through, you know. You have to trust me because need, you know, a couple of teaspoons, a tablespoon. Brush that over. And then if you want marzipan, then you put that over because you can buy that rolled out, put it over. Some people brush that with egg white and then you put over the pet and ice which you have rolled out and you smooth it round with your hands, tuck it down, and then you can colour the pet and ice to anything you like to make little decorations to go on the top. You can actually buy coloured pet and ice. I've seen at supermarkets.
Can you spell this pet and ice?
P-T-T-I-N-I-C-E.
Pet and ice.
Yes. And you really should be asking Alistair's Tina about this, and Alistair's amazing at decorating. But you can make up some royal icing, which is essentially icing sugar and egg white, and then you can pipe little decorations around the bottom and all over it, and you can colour that up as well. Great fun if you have the patience and the talent.
And the pet and ice.
And the pet and ice.
Roscoe, next up. Roscoe, you're talking to Sally.
Good morning, Sally. How are you?
Good, thanks, Roscoe. How are you?
Good, always well.
Cool.
I don't know if this is your area of expertise, but I'm after a recipe for pickling olives. Do you have such a thing?
I don't like olives, but my daughter does.
Oh, what? What's wrong with you?
How can you say
that after years and years of getting excited when people ring in with pickling olive recipes?
I just don't happen to like them. It's like oysters.
You've never seen that before. Yeah.
Well, that's a first. And she makes up a brine solution.
Right.
And she goes to immense trouble. I think at the moment, she told me, she has 50 kilos in a bucket sitting there waiting for bottles. So she brines them and then she changes that every day. She pricks them as well, you know, every olive. Yes. Can you imagine? And then she changes it every day for 8 days, and then she makes up the final one, and then she leaves it in that brine, which is, I suspect, the stage right now, and then she takes them out and puts them in vinegar or olive oil, and she puts all lovely spices and things. It's in my A Year on the Farm book, because I put it in as Stephanie's olive recipe.
So will you put that
year
up on your website?
Farm book. Yes. It must be the only book of yours I haven't got.
Oh, dear. Well, I'll put it up on my website, I promise, by this afternoon.
No, don't worry, I'll go and buy the book.
Okay. Also, Roscoe, and I know we've done this at least once, and I'm thinking maybe twice before, Robert Carnevale, who is Tino's father, has a recipe that you can do these, and I've consumed them, and they're delicious.
Yeah,
and you can pickle them in the space of about 2 weeks or so. Now, I can't remember what that was. So, Robert, I'm sorry to do this to you again, because I know you've done it once before, but if you're listening, can you give us a call? And Roscoe promises he'll stay tuned in. How do you do your super quick olive pickling?
Yes.
Give us a call, 1300 222 936.
Because I want a reminder too.
Yeah, write it down next time. All right, Roscoe, we'll see what happens.
All right.
Okay,
good day.
Thank you for that. Good day. This is Chris Rowbottom sitting alongside you there. Chris is on the wireless from 5 past 11
Hello.
This morning with the Grandstand. Hi, Chris.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. It's a big hat you're wearing.
I've just got a small head.
It's a great day when Sally's in.
Yeah, it is. I had sampled some of your treats just before. Very, very good, as always. It's all cricket on Grandstand this morning. WBBL starts today, the Women's Big Bash League. So we'll talk to Julia Price, the coach of the Hobart Hurricanes, as that gets underway. The Under-19 National Championships are also happening across Tasmania at the moment, so we'll check in there. There's a powerboat event out at Granton, the Wayne Cross and Michael England Memorial. So we'll talk to an organiser from Granton, and we'll touch on the new partnership between AFL Tasmania and the Kangaroos, which will see TSL and TSLW players eligible to play in the VFL next year.
And, of course, the National SB20 Championships are on right now, being sailed on the Derwent.
They certainly are, yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So
Tasmania's doing very well in that, as you'd expect, I suppose.
Sailing is starting to really heat up as we approach the Sydney to Hobart too.
All right, Chris, look forward to that from 11:05 this morning. Chris Rowbottom with a Grandstand. You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. It's 27 minutes to 11 o'clock. A further reminder that the Broadcast Centre foyer is open in the south of the state through till 2 o'clock this afternoon, and the Ann Street studios in Launceston are open till midday. They've got that auction of the cricket bat signed by Ricky Ponting taking place before midday. City Mission is there cooking up a sausage sizzle, tours of the building and lots of raffles taking place, and you can also meet some of the staff. Fred and BJ and Carla are certainly there as well. Your next caller, Sally Wise, is Marion. Morning, Marion.
Good morning, Chris and Sally.
Hi, Marion.
I have a ginger beer recipe.
Oh, good.
And it's old. It's got my mother's maiden name on the book.
Oh, well.
And that'd be over 90 years old, the book.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right.
Yes.
1 gallon of water.
Yes.
1 lemon sliced.
Yes.
1.5 ounces of whole ginger.
Yes.
3/4 pound of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And you boil all together for 1 hour.
Yes.
When almost cold, add a piece of compressed yeast about the size of a large pea.
Compressed yeast, size of large pea. I'll go and get that from Alistair on the way home.
All right. Or add 1 cup of hot yeast.
Oh, I have that.
Right. Stand for 12 hours.
Yes.
Then strain and bottle. Ready in 24 hours.
How cool. That's excellent.
Now, I've got another one, but it doesn't sound as good.
Yes.
It's 1.5 ounces of best ginger bruised.
Yes.
1 ounce of cream of tartar.
Yes.
1.5 pound of loaf sugar.
Loaf sugar, yes.
And you put these ingredients into an earthenware pan.
Yes.
And pour over 1 gallon of boiling water.
Yes.
When nearly cold, add 1 gill of yeast. It is going back, isn't it?
It is.
A gill.
It's six tablespoons.
It's 6 tablespoons. Yep. Did you know that, Marin, that a gill is 6 tablespoons? No?
No, I didn't know that.
It's one thing I remember from school.
When did you go to school?
Cover over with a blanket.
Yes.
Let stand until next morning.
Yes.
Then skim and strain through a thick cloth.
Strain through thick cloth, yes.
Bottle and fasten down. Ready in 3 days. Lemon juice can be added to improve the flavour.
Okay.
Excellent. Have fun, Sally.
I will, Marion. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my dear.
Brilliant. Well done, Marion. Thank you for the call. Cherie is next from Clarence Point. Morning, Cherie.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Cherie.
Marion beat me with the first one that she read out. I also have that one.
Okay.
It was in my mother-in-law's book.
Really? Okay. And it was an identical recipe.
Yes, exactly the same recipe.
Goodness.
Yep. I was reading it and she was reading it out and I thought, oh, that's exactly the same as this one.
Goodness. Yes. Okay. Yep.
Now, the other one I have has been torn off a back of a letter that was written in Queenstown on Tuesday the 22nd, 1930.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's been written in fountain pen. Some of it's blended together.
Yes.
So I'll try. It's quite strange. It's 4 lemons.
Mm-hmm.
2 ounces of whole ginger, well bruised.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's 12 or 2 small chilies.
2 small chilies will depend on the amount of water, I suppose. Yes.
2 pound of sugar.
Yes.
1 teaspoon of cream of tartar.
Yes.
And 1 bottle of ginger beer.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Okay.
Would that be assuming there's a starter or a yeast in their ginger beer?
Like a homemade.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. That's achievable.
But you wouldn't buy a cordial ginger beer out of a fridge these days for that, would you?
No.
No, that wouldn't have any.
No. But if you had a bottle of homemade ginger beer, sure, which we will have in a couple of days, then, so it's easy.
Yeah. Mm. Well, back then, too, of course.
Yes.
So you peel and slice the lemons.
Yes.
Add the ginger and the chilies.
Yes.
And 1 quart of water.
1 quart, yes.
And boil for 30 minutes.
Yep.
Strain into muslin while still hot.
While still hot, yes.
Add the sugar and the cream of tartar.
Sugar and cream of tartar, yes.
And stir until dissolved.
Yes.
Then add 6.5 quarts of cold water.
Quarts of cold water. Okay.
And then lastly, add the bottle of ginger beer.
Bottle. Ginger beer. You know, I like the sound of this.
Mm, I thought the chilli part of it was...
Yes.
Then adding the ginger beer that you'd already made.
Yes.
And it says here the bottle, it'll be ready in 2 or 3 days.
Ready, bottle, ready... 2 to 4 days?
2 to 3 days, yep.
2 to 3 days. I really like the sound of that with the hit of chilli in there. I'm going to try that.
Mm.
I'm going to go haunt the local fruit market as well on the way home.
Well done.
Good.
Thank you
so
much.
Thanks for the call. Also, you've got a picture by text of a page from The Art of the Natural Home by Rebecca Sullivan. Helen from Kettering says, I haven't tried it because my sister just gave me this book, but it looks good. So you can have that as well. Also got a text saying, enough of the ginger beer recipes. What's happened to Christmas? Perhaps that's a fair comment as well.
Okay.
So we'll move on from the ginger beer recipes
thank
now.
Thank you, everyone.
You've got enough, yes. 1300 222 936. In fact, we've got some free lines right now, first time this morning. So you will get through if you call now. 1300 222 936. Text 0438 922 936. Hi, Sally. I've got sparkling elderflower and apple cider. It's been in demijohns for 2 weeks, and today I'm going to siphon it into grotch bottles. Oh, they're the ones with the flip-top rubber sealer stop things, yes. Like a beer bottle with a glass stopper, yeah. How do I stop the bottles from exploding?
Well, what I do, I use like empty soft drink bottles or PET bottles, which you can buy very inexpensively because they have more give. They have that rocket bottom on them, and when there's danger in the air, you can see they kind of start to throb in that rocket bottom. You think, okay, and then I can let a little bit out. With the glass bottles, I hesitate to use them for that reason. They look lovely, but they can explode.
Even a glass bottle can explode.
It can, yeah. But, I mean, if once you know it's fizzy and you put it in the fridge, that will slow that process right down, so that's okay. So if you want to use the glass bottles, just watch for when it's fizzy. When it's fizzy, immediately put it into the fridge, and that stops that explosive thing continuing to the point of danger.
And I've said it before, but I've made your elderflower into those PET bottles, which have the dimpled bottom.
Yes.
And it got so explosive, even the dimples were turning themselves inside out.
Oh, my.
It was great fun. You throw it up in the air and watch it explode on the driveway. Amazing.
When we lived at Eagle Hawk Neck, we had it was strawberry actually. It's strawberry, sparkling strawberry, and it was in a solid plastic crate. We heard this dreadful bang one day. I thought, whatever was that? And we went round to the pantry. It had blown the back out of the crate and the plaster in the wall behind it. We left it there for the sake of posterity when we moved, but the hole, that is. But it was, it certainly can get very explosive. So just put it in the fridge. And even in the fridge, like when you, if you have the plastic bottles, when you take it out, just let out a bit of the gas just in case.
Sally Wise in the studio for another quarter of an hour or so. 1300 222 936, 0438 922 936, if you want to get hold of us by text. Good question here. Is there an entry-level approach to making fermented food so the complete novice can check it out? Les. Or is this sort of boots and all, really, isn't it, I suppose?
It is.
You can't be a little bit fermented, can it, really?
No. It's such a variety of things you can do. How I started out doing fermented foods was just these sparkling fruit drinks that I brought a couple in for Chris today. There's a lemon one and a gooseberry one. And that's a very simple type of ferment.
That's fermented?
Yeah, it's fermented. It's natural ferment, both of them. So that's a good, easy way to ease into it. The bubbles are through a natural ferment. Really, you need to get a book on the subject. You're not allowed to mention a book, I suppose. And there's one a shop in town that does classes on fermenting. They're very inexpensive and very, very good. And that will teach you how to make the basic sauerkraut and the basic principles of fermentation. Okay. It's very good indeed.
All right. Let's take a call. This is Mike. Mike, you're talking to Sally.
G'day, Sally. Long time no hear you.
Hi, Mike. Mate,
that Queenstown recipe, just be careful because that sounds to me you're heading for alcohol.
Uh-huh.
3 or 4 days left like that. That bottle I talk about tipping in would be out of a ginger plant. You have your own ginger plant.
Yes, yeah.
And that's fun for kids to keep it alive.
Yeah.
You keep it alive and keep it working by feeding it a little bit of sugar or raisin or something every couple of days.
Yes.
But just be careful how long you ferment it for.
Right.
The longer you do, the stronger it'll be.
Now, can I ask you a question, Mike?
Yeah.
Because someone brought this up about, like, these homemade fruit drinks, you know, the longer they're left, you know, they will become alcoholic, though we've tried to measure it and never been able to. So I presume if that's the case, will freezing it, and you can do this, like in the bottles, I let a bit of the liquid out and then freeze it in the bottles, does that slow down the conversion to alcohol?
Oh, I can't really answer that, but I know heating it will. I know, like, if you boiled it before you bottle it and then let it cool off and bottle it, you'd be right.
I wonder what it still
goes, that gets rid of the alcohol, but otherwise, like, leaving it for 3 or 4 days, you'd be up around about probably 3 or 4% alcohol, a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you. I did find, like, I imagine it was only just on a whim that I freezed it in the bottles if I think it's been left a bit long. And when you take it out and thaw it, it's still fizzy. It's amazing. So I tip it into, before I freeze it sometimes, I tip it into, like, icy pole moulds and make icy poles, fizzy icy poles for the grandchildren. It's really nice.
All right, you've got a few jobs piling up here, but let's just have a quick word to Robin first. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, Chris.
Hello. And you're talking to Sally. Yep.
Hi. I'm making a Christmas pudding, and the recipe I have uses butter.
Mm-hmm.
And the butter gets melted into the fruit and macerated. And I'm just wondering whether I can use suet instead of the butter.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And would it be better to melt the suet or put it in?
I would grate it.
Yeah, okay.
And, Robin, if you go to the ABC website, Sally's little boy, Alistair, and we had exactly this conversation last Sunday for about 15 minutes or so, and you'll find that as a standalone item. If you go to ABC Radio Hobart, look for the weekend's program, and they've got a strange word for them. I think they call them, what do they call them? Paul, help me out. What's the word for it? Episodes, that's right.
Episodes, okay. Oh, great.
And have a look for the episode with Alistair last Sunday. Yep. You'll find lots more about that.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Good.
All right, okay. Thanks, and Karen is next. Karen, you're talking to Sally.
Good morning, Sally. Morning, Chris.
Hi,
Sally,
Karen.
I picked 9 kilos of red currants from my two bushes this week.
Oh, lucky you.
It's astounding. And what I've made jelly, but I thought I'd like to make a savoury sauce.
Okay. I've never made one from red currants. Yeah, I'd have to play with that a bit before with our own red currants that are not ripe yet. But no, I serve like the red currant jelly with turkey and that sort of thing instead of cranberry sauce and that sort of thing because it's quite tart and lovely. But no, I'm sorry, I don't have a recipe for a red currant sauce, but I will work on it, I promise you.
Okay, well then, if I work out, I need to preserve them.
Yes.
But I thought I might make just a savoury sauce with it. I'll play with it as well.
Yes.
And then I thought I'd put them in jars and stick them in the fowler's unit so
yes.
that I can. So how long would you put them in for if you're using a 150ml jar?
You would need to put them into the jars, of course. You won't need much liquid in there. Because you might make a savoury application, I wouldn't put any syrup. I'd just use water and then, you know, do the usual, seal them. And if they're 150ml, they're quite small jars. Bring it up to, the old Fowler's books used to say 77. These days they say a lot higher. I would settle for 83. And for 150ml jars, like, bring it up slowly over about 40 minutes and then hold it for 10 minutes, 15
okay,
to be safe.
Okay, so you're talking about 83 Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
Of course. Oh, silly question.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so 83, take 40 minutes.
Yep, and then hold it for 15 to be safe.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Good. Thanks, Karen. Thank
Bye.
You for that. Good day. Sally, walnuts. When picking for pickling, I'd learned to push a darning needle through the
yes.
fruit. Yeah. And why would you do that?
So that you can tell that no shell has formed on it.
Exactly right. Mm. Never twigged that before. And Brian says he's also picking tomorrow. Surely not picking walnuts tomorrow.
Could
way,
be.
Way ahead of the season.
No, well, you see, you need to pick them green.
Oh, for pickling. Of course you do. Yes,
them,
of course. Yes,
so
yes, yes.
really the latest, and because we've had some quite warm weather, so I'd be starting to look at them now.
Yeah,
usually Boxing Day is the latest you would want to pick them.
Yep. My dear mum, who never knowingly consumed a drop of alcohol in her life, always made a brilliant ginger beer. After many years, technology came along and a grandson tested its specific gravity. Came back in around about 3.8%.
Whoa.
I was mortified. Sally, can you give the recipe for the Christmas biscuits topped with chocolate you said you forgot to bring into the studio?
Yes. I actually did bring them in, but they're out with Paul.
Well, there won't be any left, will there?
Well, I don't know. You have to ask him.
Well,
I'll bring you some more later, if you like, because I made a huge batch. Okay, so what it is now I have to think, I only made them yesterday. It's 60 grams of butter, which you melt with 3/4 of a cup of golden syrup. So you melt that and bring it just to the boil, leave it to stand for 10 minutes, and then you add 1 3/4 cups of plain flour, and a teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda. You mix all this together, and it's a good idea to sift this because bicarb sometimes gets lumps in a teaspoon of ginger, ground ginger, half a teaspoon of ground cardamom, half a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, yes, and that's it, and a tablespoon of milk. And you can put some mixed peel in, but our kids always hate it, so I never do. So what you do, after it's boiled, you've left it for 10 minutes, you mix this flour or spice mixture in with a little bit of milk, and then you leave it to stand for 2 hours. And by that, because when you first mix it, it's quite liquid. So, okay, after 2 hours, just leave it at room temperature. Then you roll it out on a lightly floured surface to about 8 millimetre thickness. And then I cut it into heart shapes. And you put those on trays, allow a little bit of room for spreading. I get the end of a wooden spoon and make a little indent in the centre, and you put a little bit of raspberry jam. The red currant jelly is quite nice in there. And then you put it, put them in a moderate oven, say 160, fan forced, and I put them in for about 8 to 10 minutes. You don't want them brown because then they go too crisp. So just 8 to 10 minutes till they just start to colour. Take them out, let them cool, then turn them over and spread grated, not grated chocolate, melted chocolate, dark chocolate on the back of them and leave it to set. And they keep for quite a long time, and they're a delicious type of ginger, spicy gingerbread with so much more besides.
Can you repeat that, please?
Yep, sure.
Christmas trees are on sale outside the ABC in Launceston. All money to the Giving Tree. Plus, there's a sausage sizzle. City Mission is behind that. If you go on now, get yourself a tree and a singer. And, of course, the Ricky Ponting autographed cricket bat coming off our auction as well. And Fred and BJ are actually doing quite a few raffles there as well. But you've only got till midday to have a look around the ABC studios in Launceston. You've got till 2 o'clock this afternoon for the Broadcast Centre in Hobart. And again from 8 till 2 as well tomorrow. Bring in your present to put under the tree. You can leave cash at the front desk with Marty and just have a look around. It'll make you feel good. You don't have to put anything under the tree. It's a beautiful big tree, beautifully decorated as well. Hi, Sally. I used to use birch bark sugar to sweeten ginger beer. Heard of birch bark sugar to sweeten ginger beer? Not fermentable by normal yeasts. I add just enough cane sugar for carbonation, and it stops the bottles exploding, says Clive from Red Hills. Yeah. Birch bark sugar.
Well, it must be available somewhere. Yeah. I think health food stores.
Lauren says, top listening. Interesting stuff about the ginger beer. I didn't know there was any other way than feeding the ginger beer bug, says Lawrence. Yeah. Yes, we've done that one. Do you have a killer tasty recipe for shepherd's pie? Mine are far too bland, says Mark, who's listening in Newcastle.
Yes, I do. And really, a true shepherd's pie should be made with leftover cold roast lamb. So you get 500 grams of that, so you have of your meat, and put it through the mincer. This is totally different to a cottage pie. Cottage pie is made with, you know, raw mince and all that sort of stuff. So this is 500 grams of cold roast lamb. You put that through the mincer with a small onion. You add about 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of mixed herbs, a big tablespoon of tomato sauce, like ketchup style tomato sauce, a tablespoon of flour, and about 1/2 cup of milk. You can make that, say, 3/4. It, you know, just depends how big your, well, it doesn't matter. Well, say 1/2 to 3/4 of a cup and a rounded flour, tablespoon of flour. You press that in, taste it, of course, for the salt and pepper content. Press that into a grease, say, 20-centimetre casserole dish, and then put some lovely creamy buttery mashed potato over the top, and then I sprinkle grated cheese over the top of that and bake it for 1/2 hour in a moderate oven, and that's your proper shepherd's pie, and there's nothing else like it.
I hope you got that one. Today at 11, Santa is arriving on Flinders Island at the showgrounds. All the children of the island and visitors, of course, are invited. Lots of food and gifts, and it's, of course, all free. 11 o'clock, Santa's arriving on Flinders Island. He's probably in the air right now. He's only got 6 minutes to go. The Brighton Twilight Market is on at the Pondville Hall today from 4 till 8. The Carols are on at 7. And the Port Sorell Lions Club Relay for Life are holding a garage sale and book sale today through till midday at the Port Sorell Memorial Hall in Meredith Street. Guess who we've got on the phone? Roscoe, I hope you're still listening. This is Pat Carnevale. Hello, Pat.
Yay.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Sorry to do this to you again, but Roscoe asked the question and Sally didn't write it down last time. How do you do your olives?
Okay. Well, I'll give you the recipe as I've got it written down in front of me. 1 kilo of olives. For every 1 kilo of olives, you put 70 grams of marine salt, 3 cloves, 1/4 stick of cinnamon, a good couple of pieces of lemon peel of about 1/2 lemon, and 2 bay leaves. Yep. And you put it in a container for however many olives you've got and cover it with water, and the container must be full to the brim. Now, you turn it every day. You just stir it around every day.
Yes.
And you leave that for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, you strain that all off and you start again, and you put the same amount, same thing again, and leave it for another 3 months. Then they're ready to bottle.
Thank
you. Bottle in the brine.
It's as simple as that. That's supposed to be the simplest one out there. And yes. I can actually attest to the fact it works. Yes.
Right. I've written it down this time.
Okay.
Great stuff, Pat. Thank you. Were you listening or somebody?
No, a friend of mine was listening. I was actually vacuuming. So.
All right, you're excused. Pat, okay. Pat, thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Okay,
good day. Pat Carnevale, mum of Tino, of course, with that recipe. Can you put that, I assume it's okay to put up on your website? Can you do that
as well? Of course. Yeah, if Pat doesn't mind.
Check it up on ours as well.
Let me know if you mind. All otherwise, right. I'll put up.
And Sally, your recipe, this is catching you out, your recipe for Lebkuchen in your sweet book does not have bicarb soda. Is it needed, says Sue?
Yes, sometimes I go through spells where I do and I don't. It won't have, they keep better if you don't put it in, but they're slightly crisper. If you put the bicarb in, then they are a bit softer texture, like a softer gingerbread texture.
Okay. There's plenty of classes out there for starting people off in fermenting food. I did one last year. It set me up with kefir grains, that again. But this was water kefir you were talking about. Was that something slightly different?
There's milk and water.
Yeah. Set me up with kefir grains and kombucha scoby.
Yes.
Plus it took us through kimchi and sauerkraut making.
Yes.
I noticed there's something on the Red Velvet Lounge and Signet on Thursdays.
Uh-huh.
And also Terros in Liverpool Street, yes. Says Sam. Also Michelle Tal, who has joined us a couple of times from Penguin. I know she certainly runs courses in fermenting food and sourdough bread making. And your boy, Alistair, does his own bit of fermenting as well. We often talk about that on a Sunday. Alistair's with us most Sundays around about 11:45. If you want to hear somebody who's equally as passionate as his mum, yeah, tune in for that. He'll be on tomorrow, 11:45 in the Sunday program. What else do I need to tell you here? I've got a recipe for ginger wine, but I'll give you that afterwards rather than read that all through as well. I'll just scroll back here. Ready to roll or fondant icing is available in most major supermarkets, but the brands may differ. You can also buy the almond flavoured one to put under it if you like. Same method as you described. I need a recipe for bottling whole gooseberries in syrup, water bath method.
Yes, easy. Easy peasy. It's very similar to the red currants, only you do it for longer. So you top and tail. 1 year we didn't top and tail them. You must, trust me. So you top and tail your gooseberries, pop them in your Fowler's jars, or there's many different sorts now, similar. And so I find, you know, people say you can do them in water, which you can do them in light syrup, which is, you know, low sugar, medium, which is, you know, about 2/3 sugar to proportion of water. I use, everyone will gasp, but I use a heavy syrup because you're not going to really eat a lot of that syrup, but it does the best to buy them because they're quite bitter and they don't get less bitter. So I use a heavy syrup, which is equal parts sugar and water. So what I do, I dissolve the sugar in a little bit of boiling water and then top it up with cold soap because you can't use hot syrup over it. Okay, pour it over. You can prick all the gooseberries if you want to, but really I don't bother and they don't split badly. In fact, not at all. Okay, pour it over, brim full, put on your rubber ring and your lids and your clips if you're using Fowler's bottle. Pop them in the Fowler's, fill it up to just at the lids with cool water. And then if you have a thermostat-controlled preserver, you are very fortunate. You just turn it on and you leave them in there for an hour and about 5 minutes at 85 degrees. Or if you don't have the thermostat control one, bring it slowly up to that temperature to 85 degrees Celsius over 45, 50 minutes and then hold it for 15 minutes. If you use a huge jars, make that 20 minutes.
We've got the news coming along in less than 1 minute's time. Caller's asking about a podcast. We don't podcast this, but it is a standalone item on the ABC website, ABC Radio Hobart. It's the best place to go. Producer Paul will do whatever he has to do, and it will be there with a photo, I guarantee, in the next 10 minutes or so. So if you want to hear this all over again, there you go. Just to ABC Radio Hobart. Look for Weekends and then search around through episodes. Sally, thank you.
Pleasure.
Brilliant. We'll have to talk to you next year. So thank you again for 2017.